The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. I've been reading a book about reading, and it's got my mind running in circles. I guess it's appropriately titled, Becoming Beside Ourselves. It's by Brian Rotman, who makes a case that the habits of the alphabet, of reading and writing, have added such a wide collection of skills and rituals to Western culture, and so influenced the postnatal development of the brain, that we're too immersed to be aware of how much alphabetic reading and writing are responsible for notions at the foundation of Western thought, like our concept of mind, and logic, and our ability to imagine what Rotman calls a disembodied mono-being. One myth of alphabetic writing is that it's possible to match every speech sound to a letter. That whole collection of ideas about how speech and language consist of discrete words made up of discrete sounds, you don't have to know any of that to be able to converse. In other words, alphabetic writing and phonics were invented for each other. Think about how you'd help a beginning reader stumbling along. Sound it out, you might say, and they try. They make some bewildered noises, and when they recognize the sounds as a word, they say it, and then on to the next word. Still, they might not read with expression, because they don't comprehend what they're reading. Letter by letter, word by word, when it goes in like that, it's hard to get it to make sense. So there has to be more to reading and writing than just decoding the phonics. There's research that indicates that fluent readers do more than just get a lot of practice and learn how to decode pages full of letters faster. The parts of our brain that light up once we read fluently aren't the same ones as the ones that light up when we decipher words by sounding them out. When we're happily reading with good comprehension, our brains glow much the same way as they do when we speak or listen. It's as though the act of reading speaks a voice in our heads. What voice? Whose voice? Exactly who is speaking in our heads when we read? And by the same token, who's speaking when we write? At this point, I more or less fell off the track of Rotman's arguments about who we are because we read, because I was distracted by questions about who talks in my head and by what authority, and how there's a certain discouragement that says, don't engage overmuch with speakers in your head. There is such a thing as too much Q&A in there. Who speaks to me days when I write, when I ride my bicycle, when I sit down, stand up, cook, watch the chipmunks? Who is it that talks in my head when I daydream and worry? Who speaks in your head as you tell a story, as you write a novel? When the novelist writes a grocery list, is that the same speaker as the speaker or speakers who spoke the novel now speaking about something else? Or is the grocery list the work of a new speaker altogether? Who speaks in my head because I'm reading Brian Rotman's book? Who listens? Does anyone talk back? Who speaks in my head only because I am someone who has learned how to read? Is there someone who doesn't get to speak because the reading and writing voices monopolize the line and the configurations of the thoughts? I know quite a few people who don't read, never did, probably won't, and don't much care. I wonder how you ask someone if the voices they have who jabber in their heads could jabber with the voices who jabber in you. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.